There is no leader and no liberator anywhere in the universe quite like Jesus Christ. And when a man opens up his heart to the Son of God, the whole of his life is changed.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The shepherd of his people is the theme of our series of messages based on this very familiar passage in Psalm 23. And we're taught in this passage that David could say without fear of hypocrisy, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the product or the blessing of that relationship was that he could say, "I shall not want." And it's very emphatically stated in the Hebrew Old Testament, "Nothing I shall want" would be the way of rendering that literally in the Hebrew order of the words. Nothing, that comes first. "The Lord is my shepherd, nothing I shall want." When David uses that term want, kaser is the Hebrew verb. It's a verb that implies poverty. It implies destitution. It implies emptiness. It's the meaning of the term. David says, "Nothing I shall want." He means that a vital union with our shepherd, a vital union with Jesus Christ, ensures the supply of every possible necessity of life. All that we need, we can expect will be supplied by our great shepherd for every circumstance of life. Then David is very precise in unfolding for us exactly what is provided. We've seen the outline already as we flow through the thought there that's in the 23rd Psalm. "I shall not want for rest," David says. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not want for refreshment. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I shall not want for restoration. He restoreth my soul. I shall not want for regulation. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He regulates me according to his own principles of righteousness. I shall not want for refuge. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I shall not want for resources. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." All of the resources that I have need of, I can expect that they shall be supplied. Now we come to this part of the psalm that deals with refreshment. David says, "I shall not want for refreshment. He leadeth me beside the still waters." And it's as I drink of those still waters that I am refreshed. Now, what do you see as you look at that phrase? We're in Psalm 23, and we're in the last phrase of verse 2. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." As I look at that phrase, I want you to see two things with me at least, and under those things, a number of items. There are two basic ideas here. The first thing I see is the shepherd's special superintendence. He leadeth me. The shepherd's special superintendence. He becomes my superintendent, my governor, the one who controls and regulates my life. The shepherd's special superintendence. He leadeth me. And growing out of that are three ideas, three implications. And then the second thing I see is the shepherd's special supply. Not only his superintendence, but his superintendence leads us to a very rich supply. The Bible says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." And I think there's a very powerful implication to that phrase. In fact, there are two basic ideas that I want to share there in just a moment. First, the shepherd's very special superintendence. He leadeth me. What do you think of when you think of that phrase, "He leadeth me"? I think of three things. I believe there's a threefold implication in that phrase, "He leadeth me." It implies three things. One, it implies divine salvation. The only people whom the shepherd leads in this very precious and intimate way are those who are his sheep, those who belong to his fold. It implies divine salvation. I think beyond that, it implies human limitations, and it implies beyond that a gentle persuasion. And I'll tell you why I think that in just a moment. First, it implies divine salvation. Those whom the shepherd leads are his sheep and only his sheep. The sheep are conditioned to recognize the voice of the shepherd, and they will not follow a stranger. So we read in the New Testament, for example, John 10, verses 4 and 5, he, that is the shepherd, goeth before them, that is his sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. John 10, verses 4 and 5. There are some of us, maybe a few who are listening over the radio, there are some of us to whom Jesus Christ is a stranger. We don't follow him, and he doesn't lead us. And that means that we are not saved. We're outside the fold. We're facing the peril of the complexities of this life without the divine and supernatural and omnipotent power and advice of a good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us view the Lord Jesus Christ as a stranger. Some of us are not the sheep of his fold. Some of us cannot say without hypocrisy. We may be able to parrot the words, but we cannot say without hypocrisy, as David could say, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, I memorized this psalm long before I ever became a Christian. My great-grandmother taught me this psalm. She was a believer. And long before I had come to know the shepherd of this psalm, I knew the psalm. Some of us can parrot the psalm. Some of us can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Some of us learned it early in life, and we've said it on many and numerous occasions. But in the very truest biblical sense of the term, the Lord is not our shepherd. We have not yet been saved. And in that sense, he does not lead us. When David could say, he leadeth me, what he was really saying is, I am saved. I am a member of his fold. I belong to the right fold. That is the great need of every one of us. If you're not yet a member of that fold, if you can't say without hypocrisy, the Lord is my shepherd, then it is not true that he leads you. David could say, he leadeth me, because he belonged to that fold. And I would invite you in Christ's stead, I would beseech you in Christ's stead to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior and allow him to become your shepherd so that you could say without hypocrisy, the Lord is my shepherd and he leadeth me. That's the very implication of that phrase, he leadeth me. One, it implies divine salvation. If you've not yet experienced it, we invite you to it. We invite you to Christ. The second thing it implies to me is human limitations. Why does he lead me? Because we need somebody to lead us. There are significant insights that we need to live this life successfully and fruitfully, and we do not have those insights. They're not natively a part of our nature. We don't have the recuperative energy that we need, the wisdom and the insight that we need to live this life successfully and fruitfully for God's glory. We need a leader. We need a shepherd. We need Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The Bible says, he leadeth me. Jeremiah was so bold as to say in the Old Testament, O Lord, I know, Jeremiah 10, verse 23, reflects our human limitations. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. He means that man at his best. I've explained that verse in the past, and he uses two words for man there, one for generic man and one for great man, powerful man, influential man, strong man, two different words in Jeremiah 10, verse 23. Generic man and great man, man at his best, does not possess the necessary sufficiency to face the complexities of life successfully. That's true of every one of us. Our vision is defective. Our wisdom is limited, our path is obscured, and our courage is often strained. There's something we haven't thought of. We'd like to think that we can plan and lay out the logistics of our own life and arrange for a very neat package and then work through it and live very successfully and very fruitfully and very powerfully in this life, but it doesn't work out that way. We simply don't have the necessary vision, wisdom, or courage, and the path upon which we walk is often obscured. There's something we haven't thought of. We need someone who will give us insight. We need a leader. There is no leader and no liberator anywhere in the universe quite like Jesus Christ. And when a man opens up his heart to the Son of God, the whole of his life is changed and his deepest needs are met. He meets the needs presented to him by our human limitations. More than this, as we walk on this path, which is often obscure, we are not alone on the path. In fact, the Bible is so bold as to teach us that as we walk on this path, we are surrounded by hostile and malignant forces. Paul could say in the New Testament, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. With such overwhelming limitations, natively as a part of our nature, and compounded by the influence of those powers, those evil powers all about us, with such overwhelming limitations, we have a desperate need for the superintendence which only Jesus Christ can give to us. We need a gracious, compassionate, powerful, and all-wise shepherd, and we have it in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. Now, there's a third thing that phrase speaks to me of. He leadeth me. That speaks of divine salvation. He leads his sheep and only his sheep, those who are of his fold. It speaks, secondly, of human limitations. We have great needs if we intend to live this life successfully. And then thirdly, it speaks to me of gentle persuasion. In fact, that's the very meaning of the word, leadeth. Nahal is the Hebrew verb, N-A-H-A-L. Nahal is the verb. And it expresses gentle, gradual leading. It's the idea inherent in the word. It's a portrait of the shepherd's accommodating himself to the needs and the strengths of the flock, discerning what their needs are at a specific point in their lives, and gently persuading them to follow his guidelines. Why do we need that kind of persuasion? I'll tell you why. Because God has given to every one of us a devastating faculty. It's the capacity for choice. We have a will. He's given us a will, and that will is our most God-like capacity, and it's often out of control. We make momentous decisions with this will. And if we don't follow God's principles in the exercise of those choices, we will bring ruination upon our lives. He's given us a tremendous faculty to make choices. It's our most God-like capacity, and devastating repercussions come out of the wrong choices. Despite his sovereign control of the affairs of history, God does not mechanically manipulate mankind. He preserves for men a measure of freedom in their choice. We are not automatons. We are not robots. And with that freedom of choice comes awesome responsibility.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.